Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I trust that you are well and the Lord is keeping and watching over your life. We carry on with our study of God's word. And today we will be starting Colossians chapter 2. You know, Colossians is, ideally you would consider it a very short book. But it's one that is so detailed and so concentrated with truth and with light that it needs an in-depth study. Why? Because this is a book that Paul is writing to the church in Colossae and Laodicea, contending for the faith. And, you know, these were people who believed in Christ, yes, but they were being confused by some people trying to lead them into philosophy, others arguing over the supremacy of Christ with angels, others were more on the side of legalism, the issues of circumcision and all that. And he has to go into great details to try and defend the doctrine of Christ and try to show them that Christ is the image of the invisible God, you know, the firstborn over all creation, and by him all things were made, and through him nothing was made. You know, there are those who would want to argue whether Christ is God and whether he's just another man or, you know, glorified and all that. So all this is what Paul tries to address through the book of Colossians. And we've been able to see various aspects of it. And yesterday we saw that this was the message that we preach. We preach Christ, and Paul preached Christ, and from the onset he was very clear that I deliver to you what I first received, that Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And this is the gospel that the apostles preached. This is the foundation that they laid, and they continue to lay, and everyone else must build after this. So there's no other message that we have apart from Christ. And today we'll start looking at Colossians chapter 2, and we'll start to see what are the aspects that he was trying to fight, especially against philosophy. Now, Colossians chapter 2 verse 1, it says, "For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now, when you think about it, that when he's writing this letter, yes, he's writing to Colossae and to the church in Colossae, but if in terms of physical distance, Laodicea was just very near to Colossae, you know, and you can think about it, this is the church where Jesus has to send the message to the church in Laodicea. And you know, the other day we were speaking, and one of the things that we were trying to discuss with a friend, and it was more about, like, you know, why is it that many churches, you know, have different themes for the year? This is the year of this, this is the year of this. And it was a simple answer that to every church, Christ has a different message. To every congregation, yes, because even when John sent the letters and the visions from the book of Revelation, each church had a unique message. So it's possible for God to give unique messages of the year to every church, to everyone that is under that ministry, based on where they are in the faith and based on what it is that God wants to minister to them. Now, back to this. This message is being sent to the church in Colossae, Laodicea, but also to those who, as many who have not seen my face in the flesh. Now, remember, this is a church that he did not start, you know. So this is a church that was started by others, and he's writing to them so that they can understand why they believe. Now, I remember when he says, ever since I heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, I have not stopped giving thanks to God. Now, when the word there is saying, I want to know what a great conflict, the word there is egon. Now, this means actually like an assembly where contests used to take place, you know, like in a stadium where there will be competitions and all that. So he's saying he is in a great conflict, he's in a great assembly, in a great stadium where he is trying to contend for the faith. And he's saying, I'm trying to contend for you and for the faith, for those of you in and those in Laodicea, and as many who have not seen my face in the flesh. That means they have not seen me physically, but I have a contention for you. What is a contention? That their hearts, and this also includes us, we've not seen Paul in the flesh, but he's saying he has a great conflict for us, that our hearts may be encouraged. So one, he wants your hearts to be encouraged and that your hearts may be knit together in love. One of the key things that Paul encourages and emphasizes is love, the unity of the church, the unity of the faith, the unity of the body of believers, because in this unity, then faith works through love. You know, you want to work faith, you want to work miracles, faith works through love, through the compassion. So when we love one another, when we express our love to fellow believers, then faith can be expressed. Now he says, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. That means that when you know, one of the things that you must know, that God has given us the divine life, the Zoe, the very life of God. But he says that his divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him. That means that the life of God that you can experience, that you already given, yes, but you'll only experience it based on your knowledge, based on your intimacy, based on your revelation. So revelation grants you access to a realm in God. Revelation brings you to a new level of understanding. The Bible says the entrance of your word bringeth light and understanding, making wise the simple. So that means that wisdom lies in the place where you receive light. Now when you receive the light of revelation, that means you see a face of God, you see a certain side of God. And that certain aspect of God that you can see, then you can access, then you can receive, then you can reflect in your life. So your life is based on your level of light. What you know about God is what you can express from him, what you can get from him, because he that must receive anything from God, he that comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, you cannot seek God for something that you do not know about him. It's just, I think about the Bartimaeus, you know, when he heard that there was a crowd moving and he asked what was happening, then he was told that this is Jesus of Nazareth. He said, the Jesus of Nazareth? He was told, yes. Then he has a revelation. What is the revelation? This is not just Jesus of Nazareth. You know, they will say nothing good comes out of Nazareth. But he had heard of the miracles, but he has the revelation that this is the Son of David. Now, when you speak of the Son of David, they know he's referring to the Messiah. So he shouts at the top of his voice. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now he's understanding that Jesus was not just the Jesus of Nazareth, but the Son of David, meaning that he was the Christ, the Messiah, then made Jesus stop. And Jesus asked, who is it? And he was told, come. And then the people who told him to keep quiet when he was shouting, they're the ones now who encouraged him, the master sends for you. And immediately he goes, and Jesus asks him, what is it that you want for me to do to you? And he says, I want to receive my sight. He You can imagine he says, I want to receive my sight. Not that even I want to be healed. I already have sight. I have it. I know that you had created me with sight. Now I want to receive it. Now, there's a full assurance of understanding that comes when we truly comprehend who Christ is, what he has done through the finished works of the cross, the healing that is assured, the defeat of sin, the defeat of death, the defeat of poverty, the defeat of corruption, anything that the defeat of legalities, anything that the enemy wanted to lay against us, Jesus Christ nailed it to the cross. Now, because he nailed it to the cross, then the devil has no right to place it on us. He has no right to place sickness on us. He has no right to place death on us. He has no right to place attacks on us. He has no right to possess us. He has no right to oppress us. Only that which we do not know is where the enemy takes advantage of. You see, in law, they say ignorance is no defense. That which you don't know, that which you, the rights that you don't exercise, when you go, I mean, for those who work in organizations, their leave days, their certified days, you know, all these sick leave days. Now, if you never get to use them, you will never be given. There are benefits that are for you, but they will only be exercised when you demand for them. Now, if you don't demand for it, then that is up to you. It is not, it will not be offered freely. It is your right, yes, but you have to exercise it. So it is with the things of the Spirit. There are things that God has given us. His divine power has given us, already given us, all that we need for life and godliness. There are things that are already given. The Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. Healing was already given to you. But now if you don't know that healing was already your portion, healing is the children's bread, that you can partake of it, then you will not exercise it in right. Now you need to exercise your rights for you to experience the fullness of Christ. And that's why he says that attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now this is the great contest that Paul is having. He's saying, I'm praying to God. Remember when he prays for the Ephesian churches, he tells them, I pray ever since I heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, I cease not to make prayers for you that God will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you might know the riches of the glory that is of the inheritance that is available for the saints in the light. That means there are inheritances that are available for you. There are rights that are given for you. There are blessings that are yours that you need to be brought into the knowledge of Christ to know. And that is why God gives you pastors. God gives you shepherds. Now, it is for you to know the shepherds that God has given you, because when you find your shepherd, then you're telling God, God, each time I listen to this person, put your word in their mouths that I would hear you and have direction for where and what you want me to do. So God is always in that place where he will speak through his servants. There is always the God-man partnership. God desires to speak to his children, but he speaks to them through the men. So when you submit to yourself to a ministry, to a servant of God, to a teaching priest, he says, Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors, I will give you shepherds, after my own heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So Paul is in this place where he's contending for the church in Colossae, for the church in Laodicea, and for those who have not seen him after the flesh, that they will come to a full assurance of understanding. And he says, to the knowledge. What is that full assurance of understanding? To the knowledge of the mystery of God. I tell you, what God wants you to know is the knowledge, acknowledgement, epignosis. You know, epignosis is a correct and exact, accurate knowledge of God, of things ethical and things divine. Epignosis is when there are words for knowledge in Greek. There's ginosko or gnosis, which is progressive knowledge. But then there's epignosis, which is the complete and accurate knowledge of God. Now, what is this complete and accurate knowledge of God, both of the Father and of Christ? Now, we must know what is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "But great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh." God was phaneroed in the flesh. He was seen by angels. He resurrected. He died, and he was preached on in the world and believed on in the world. So God came as a man. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." God himself came as a man, and when he came as a man, he came as the Son. Remember, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all equal. There is none that is greater than the other. There are three persons, but the three are one. The three are God as one, but they are three distinct persons. When we speak of Elohim, him means plural, the plurality of majesties. Now, our God exists as three persons in one. Now, you have to understand that. When you understand that, then you will know that God the Father is a person. God the Son, who is Jesus Christ, is a person. And the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is a person. Now, why does God... do we understand Father? We say Father is the source, or Pater, he's the source of all things. Son is the Word that became flesh, and because he became flesh, he became a man. And remember, the Bible says God is the God of all flesh. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, he's the God, "I'm the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" When he says I'm the God of all flesh, because Jesus became flesh, then he calls the Father God the Father. And because he submitted himself, though he considered it not robbery to be equal to God, he humbled himself and took on the form of a slave. That means that even though he was equal to God, the Son, he took on the form of a man, the form of flesh. He submitted himself to God. So now you have to understand that now the mystery of both God, the mystery of God, this, it's a mystery, it's a knowledge that you have to come to, both of the Father and of Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is the resurrected King, the exalted God. Now, the resurrected Christ is not just seated alone. He is the Son of Man. He's also the Son of God, but when he's seated at that throne, he's seated together with the church. He's joined us together with him. So when you can think of the prophecy of Daniel, when you read Daniel chapter 7, it says that I saw thrones in heaven, and I saw that the Ancient of Days sat on the throne, and then I saw seated next to him, on the right hand, was the Son of Man. That means the throne of Christ and the throne of God are both in heaven. Of course, there are other thrones. They are the thrones of the 24 elders. But all they do is they cast down their crowns and they worship him that sits on the throne. So we must understand that the Father is seated on the throne. Christ is also seated on his throne at the right hand of the Father. And that's why the Bible speaks that at the end of times, all the kingdoms of this world shall be handed over to the Christ, and the Christ shall submit everything to God the Father. Now, they're all equal, but it is an act of submission, because Jesus wanted to demonstrate to us, we human beings, how to interact with God as our Father. That's why he came as a man. That is why he prays. He says that, "I'm going back to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So he's showing them that, "I'm going back to my Father and your Father," that this is how you interact with God. He is now your Father, just as he was my Father. He is my Father because I submitted myself to him. Now, he says, "I want you to come to this full assurance of understanding and to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when you understand this, then you now come and experience all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ is hidden the mysteries. You know, everything that men are trying to discover now, it's already in Christ. You're trying to discover how planes will fly. They look at the birds. They're trying to discover jet fighters. They look at the eagles. Every design that is going to succeed must be based on designs that are already existing in creation. Why? Because God is the master creator. God is the master builder. God is the one who knows the ratio of bones, of weight. You know, he knows the ratio of blood. He knows balance. He knows gravity. Anything that is to be created by man must be based for it to succeed. Copies from the pattern of God. When you copy from the pattern of God, then you are bound to succeed. Why? Because God is a creator. He's the intelligent design behind everything. He's the one whose word goes forth and does not come back empty. So anything that God has done, if you follow the pattern of God, then you shall be established. There's no other pattern that you can follow and stand. And that is why the devil copies the pattern of God. God has a kingdom. The devil has a kingdom. He tries to emulate. He tries to copy everything and to counterfeit it. And that is why we must know. We must stand on truth. We must know the scriptures. We must come to a full understanding of the truth. Now, when we understand of God, that's why the Bible speaks Hebrews, the Lord said to my Lord. Okay, Psalms 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. No, so it is God saying to Christ, so God who is Lord, Jehovah Adonai, saying to Christ, who is also Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Then he said, I will send the rod of my strength out of Zion. Who is the rod of his strength? The Holy Spirit. So in heaven, the Father is there, the Son is there, but where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is now living in the hearts of the believers. The Holy Spirit has set his throne on your heart, in your human spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, and he is also fully God. That's why the Bible tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The three persons in one, the Holy Spirit, and that's why Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will send you another comforter. That word there in Greek is allos parakletos, another of the same kind. He's saying, I'm already a comforter. Remember, the Bible tells us that he is the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Comforter. He's also a Comforter. Now, another Comforter means another of the same kind, that I'm going to send you myself. God himself is going to send you God in spirit, and he's going to dwell with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is for you. Now that means God is with you, God is in you, and God is for you. And that completes the mystery of God. And then beyond that, add the mystery of the man in Christ, that now you as a church, you come, you are no longer, you're not just a man, you are a new creation. You're now created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you. So that means that when you now come to those that are in the Godhead, then you as a man that are in Christ are now hidden in Christ. And that's why God says he has made us partakers of his divine nature. We have a form of the divine nature, the Zoe life of God, the very life of God that God has made us sharers in through the Holy Spirit, but he still reminds us when we come to the Father, hallowed be your name. The fear, our reverence of God must still be the same. This is the mystery of godliness. And this is what Paul is saying. I'm praying. I'm contending. I'm in a great contest. I'm in a great agon, trying to make sure that you understand that you come, you knit together in love, that your hearts are encouraged, but also you attain the full riches of the full assurance and understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God wants you to know, to understand, to be caught up, to be comprehending the perfect knowledge of the Son of God, so that you will know just as he is, so are we in this present world. May God give us understanding. May God give us understanding of God. That when we fully understand him, then we speak his language. Then we shall walk in his power. We shall walk in his truth. We shall walk in his revelation, to the praise and glory of his holy name. This is the mystery of the fellowship, the mystery of koinonia, that God wants us to walk in. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for light. I thank you for clarity. I thank you for truth. Thank you that indeed in all this you reveal your light to us, that we experience your truth, your power, your promises, your favor, your victory in our lives. We honor you. We exalt you. We magnify you. Thank you that light is coming to our hearts. The entrance of your word bringeth light and understanding to the simple, making wise the simple. Thank you that we are understanding the mystery of God, the knowledge of the mystery of God, of the Father and of his Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And indeed, by this power, by this understanding, we refuse anything that is contrary to Christ, anything that is contrary to what you have done on the cross for us, anything that is contrary to your nature, to your kingdom. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We remove every form of sickness, every form of attack, every form of works of darkness. We come against it in the name of Jesus. I thank you that your children walk in victory, they walk in direction, they walk in wisdom, they attain all the riches of wisdom and power that are hidden in you, all the treasures. We can access them, oh God. You know where the treasures are. Those are things that are hidden in darkness, oh God. The Lord, you're able to bring to light. I pray for this day that you've gone ahead of us. Your power, your presence, your victory has given us, oh God. We honor, we exalt you, and we magnify you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live in us. You are the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of fear, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of counsel and wisdom, the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you that you dwell in us and you are with us. You are God in us, and you've established your throne in us. And I pray that indeed may we experience the fullness of understanding in you, in truth, in love. Thank you, and we honor you. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shalom and blessed day.